I think the one thing we can all say is that we don't want to see this colony fail, said Manfred Trujillo. I don't think we're in danger of that, but I do worry about some of the decisions that have been made. I think they make things more difficult. Around the conference table was a round of nods. At my right, I saw Savitri take notes, marking which heads were nodding. On the other end of the table, Jane sat impassively, but I knew she was counting heads, too. She was in intelligence. This is what she does. We were coming to the close of the inaugural official meeting of the Rono Council, which consisted of me and Jane as the colony heads, and the 10 representatives of the colonists themselves, one for each world, who would act as our deputies. Theoretically, at least. Here in the real world, the jockeying for power had already begun. Manfred Trujillo was primary among them. Trujillo had started the push to allow colony worlds to seed a new colony several years earlier, from his perch as Erie's representative to the CU legislature. He had been miffed when the Department of Colonization took his idea, but neglected to install him as leader. He had been even more miffed when the colony leaders turned out to be us, whom he did not know, and who did not seem to be especially impressed with him. But he was smart enough to mask his frustration in general terms, and spent most of the meeting trying to undermine Jane and me in the most complimentary way possible.
"For example, this council," said Trujillo, and looked up and down the table. "Each of us is charged with representing the interests of our fellow colonists. I don't doubt each of us will do that job admirably. But this council is an advisory council to the colony heads, advisory only. I wonder if that allows us to best represent the needs of the colony."
We're not even out of the dock, and he's already talking revolution, I thought. Back in the days when I still had a brain pal, I could shoot that entire thought over to Jane. As it was, she caught my glance to her, which told her well enough what I was thinking. "New colonies are administered under Department of Colonization regulations," Jane said. "The regulations require colony leaders to wield sole administrative and executive power. Things will be chaotic enough when we arrive that mustering a quorum for every decision is not ideal."
"I'm not suggesting that you two not do your jobs," Trujillo said. "Merely that our input should be more than symbolic. Many of us have been involved with this colony since the days it was only on the drawing board. We have a wealth of experience."
"Whereas we only have a couple of months of involvement," I prompted.
"You are a recent and valuable addition to the process," Trujillo said.
Smooth.
"I would hope you would see the advantages to our being part of the decision-making process."
"It seems to me that the colonization regulations are there for a reason," I said. "The DOC has overseen the colonization of dozens of worlds. They might know how to do it."
"Those colonists came from disadvantaged nations back on Earth," Trujillo said. "They do not have many of the advantages that we have."
I sensed Savitri tense up next to me. The arrogance of the old-line colonies, which had been founded by Western countries before the CU took over colonization, had always appalled her.
"What advantages are those?" Jane said. "John and I just spent 7 years living among those colonists and their descendants. Savitri here is one of them. I'm not sensing any notable advantages among those at this table to them."
"I may have phrased that poorly," Trujillo said, beginning what I suspected was another conciliatory knife-twisting.
"You may have," I said, cutting him off. "However, I'm afraid the point is academic. DOC regulations don't give us much flexibility on the administration of first-wave colonies, nor do they make allowances for the previous national affiliation of its colonists. We are obliged to treat all colonists equally, no matter where they come from. I think that's a wise policy, don't you?"
Trujillo paused for a beat, clearly annoyed at the turn of rhetorical events.
"Yes, of course."
"I'm glad to hear it. So, for the moment, we'll continue to follow regulations. Now," I said, before Trujillo could ramp himself up again. "Anyone else?"
"Some of my people are complaining about their birth assignments," said Paolo Gutierrez, Khartoum's representative.
"Is there something wrong?" I asked.
"They're unhappy that they're not closer to other colonists from Khartoum," he said.
"The entire ship is only a few hundred meters long," I said, and birth information is readily accessible through PDAs. They shouldn't have any problems locating each other.
I understand that, Gutierrez said. I just think the expectation would be that we would be birthed together in our groups.
That's why we didn't do it that way, I said.
You know, once we set foot on Roanoke, none of us will be from Khartoum or from Erie or from Kyoto.
I nodded toward Hiram Yoder, who nodded back.
We're all going to be from Roanoke. Might as well get a head start on that. There's only 2,500 of us. That's a little small for 10 separate tribes.
That's a nice sentiment, said Marie Black from Roos. But I don't think our settlers are going to very quickly forget where they come from.
I don't expect them to, I said. I don't want them to forget where they came from. I would hope that they would focus on where they are, or will be, soon enough.
Colonists are represented here by their worlds, Trujillo said.
It makes sense to do it that way, Jane said. For now, at least. Once we're on Roanoke, we may revisit this.
That tidbit sat in the air for a few seconds. Marta Pirro from Zhangguo raised her hand.
There's a rumor that two Oban are coming with us to Roanoke, she said.
It's not a rumor, I said. It's true. Hickory and Dickory are members of my household.
Hickory and Dickory?
Asked Lee Chen from Franklin.
Our daughter Zoe named them when she was younger, I said.
If you don't mind me asking, how is it two Oban are members of your household? Pirro asked.
Our daughter keeps them as pets, Jane said.
This got an uneasy laugh. That wasn't so bad.
After an hour of being not so subtly hammered on by Trujillo, it wouldn't hurt to be seen as the sort of people who could keep terrifying aliens as domestic companions.
You need to push that son of a bitch Trujillo out of a shuttle bay, Savitri said, after the room had cleared.
Ah, relax, I said. Some people are just no good at not being in charge.
Gutierrez, Black, and Trujillo have made their own political party, Jane said. And of course, Trujillo's gone running to Kronjak to spill the details of this meeting. They've gotten very cozy.
But it doesn't cause us any problems, I said.
No, Jane said. None of the rest of the representatives seems to have much truck with Trujillo, and the individual colonists are still boarding. He's had no time to get known to any of them who aren't from Erie. Even if he had, there's no way the DOC would replace us. Secretary Bell hates Trujillo and has since they were representatives. Taking his idea and installing us as colony leaders is just another way she has of sticking it to him.
General Rybicki warned us things have gotten political, I said.
General Rybicki has a way of not quite telling us everything we need to know, Jane said.
You may be right, I said. But on this point he was right on the nose. Anyway, for now let's not worry about it too much. We've got enough to do, and after the Magellan leaves Phoenix Station, we're going to get even busier. Ooh, speaking of which, I promised Zoe I would take her down to Phoenix today. Either of you want to come?
It's me, Zoe, and the Oban twins.
I'll pass, Savitri said. I'm still getting used to Hickory and Dickory.
You've known them for nearly 8 years, I said.
Yes, Savitri said. Nearly 8 years for 5 minutes at a time. I need to work up to extended visits.
Fine, I said, and turned to Jane. What about you?
I'm supposed to meet with General Zylard, she said, referring to the commander of Special Forces. He wants to catch up.
All right, I said. You're missing out.
What are you doing down there? Jane asked.
We're going to visit Zoe's parents, I said. The other ones.
I stood at the gravestone that bore the name of Zoe's father and mother, and of Zoe herself. Zoe's dates, based on the belief she had died in a colony attack, were obviously incorrect. Less obviously, so were her father's. Her mother's dates were accurate. Zoe had crouched down to get close to the names. Hickory and Dickory had connected their consciousnesses just long enough to have a 10-second ecstasy at the idea of being the death marker of Bhutan, then disconnected and stood at a distance, impassive.
I remember the last time I was here, Zoe said.
The small bouquet of flowers she brought lay propped up on the gravestone.
It was the day Jane asked me if I wanted to come live with you and her.
Yes, I said. You found out you were going to live with me before I found out I was going to live with either of you.
I thought you and Jane were in love, Zoe said, that you planned to live together.
We were, I said. We did, but it was complicated.
Everything about our little family is complicated, Zoe said. You're 88 years old. Jane is a year older than I am. I'm the daughter of a trader.
You're also the only girl in the universe with her own open escort, I said.
Speaking of complicated, Zoe said. By day, typical kid. By night, adored by an entire alien race.
There are worse setups, I said.
I suppose, Zoe said. You'd think being the object of worship for a whole alien race would get me out of homework now and then. Don't think I haven't noticed that it doesn't.
We didn't want it to go to your head, I said.
Thanks, she said. She pointed to the gravestone. Even this is complicated. I'm alive, and it's my father's clone who is buried here, not my father. The only real person here is my mother. My real mother. It's all very complicated.
I'm sorry, I said. Zoe shrugged.
I'm used to it by now. Most of the time it's not a bad thing, and it gives you perspective, doesn't it? I'd be at school listening to Anjali or Chadna complain about how complicated their lives were, and I'd be thinking to myself, girl, you have no idea what complicated is.
Good to hear you've handled it well, I said.
I try, Zoe said. I have to admit it wasn't a very good day when the two of you told me the truth about Dad.
It wasn't much of a fun day for us either, I said. But we thought you deserved to know the truth.
I know,
Zoe said, and stood up.